academics, economists, CEOs. FINRA's Board of Governors is made up of a diverse group of individuals with diverse perspectives. A must for a group responsible for overseeing a complex organization such as FINRA. Today, we are joined by Marcia Asquith to learn more about this group, their accomplishments in 2018, and a look ahead at 2019 priorities. Welcome back to FINRA Unscripted, and Happy New Year. From Washington, D.C., I'm your host, Caitlin Kiernan. We're kicking off 2019 with a look back at 2018 and a look ahead to this year's priorities with Marcia Asquith, FINRA's Executive Vice President of Board and External Relations. Marcia, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Caitlin.
It's been about a year since we had you with us on one of the first episodes of FINRA Unscripted to talk about FINRA's special notice on engagement. You've had a very busy year in 2018 working with the board, so we wanted to look at all you've done since then. Before we get started, I wanted to take a step back and establish some groundwork for our listeners, since they might not be that familiar with FINRA's board. Maybe we can start with this. What's the board makeup?
The FINRA board is interesting in that it is comprised of both people from the industry that we regulate and also public governors, which in our world, public means they're not affiliated with a broker-dealer. So we have 10 industry governors and we have 12 public governors. And then Robert Cook, our CEO, is on the board and he's considered neither public nor industry. So we have a good mix. It's a majority public, and that's required under our bylaws. The industry governors are partially elected and partially appointed. So we have three small firm governors who are elected from among small firm members. We have one member who represents mid-size firms, and then we have three large firm governors. And those definitions are based on the number of reps at a firm. Small firms are less than 150, and medium are between 150 and 499. And then the large firm governors represent firms that have at least 500 reps. We also have three appointed industry governors. And that's an interesting thing about the board is that we have other business models represented. And so we have somebody who's from either an insurance affiliate or an independent broker-dealer. We have someone from an investment company. And then there's someone whose firm is affiliated with the floor broker of the New York Stock Exchange. And that came from when we became FINRA as we merged the regulatory functions of the then New York Stock Exchange with NASD. And that's been over 11 or 12 years now. We call it a Noah's Ark, you know, one from category A and B. It's hard if you don't understand the history of the organization and how we evolved. And that's how we have this patchwork quilt of different types of skills on the board.
It sounds like you probably get a lot of different perspectives. But before we get into that, I just wanted to follow up and ask, you mentioned that some of the firm governors are appointed and some are elected. Who are the elected governors elected by?
So the elected governors are those that I mentioned that are from specific size firms. So the three small firm governors, the one mid-size firm governor, and the three large firm governors are elected through those firms that are regulated by FINRA, that are members of FINRA. So it's a democracy. You are either nominated by the FINRA board to run for those seats, or you can petition and get enough petitions to be on the ballot. That's kind of like an open primary. And then there's the general election. So it has a lot of similarities to election processes in Congress.
So the large firms are electing the large firm governors and small firms are electing the small firm governors?
Yes, exactly.
And why do we split up the seats by the size?
Well, that was a decision that was made when we became FINRA and we changed our bylaws. There was a view that these different size firms have different issues that concern them, and they have different ideas of how they would like to be represented on the board. Also, there are a lot of small firms and there are fewer large firms in terms of the firm size, but there are more individual reps at the large firms. So it was finding that balance of how we could get those voices on the board. And FINRA members, the firms themselves, approved that construct. When we became FINRA, there was a vote, and that was approved as part of that. It was a democratic process to come up with the process.
Moving over to the public governors, how do you become a public governor? Where does FINRA draw from for that pool?
So public governors are appointed to the board. They're not elected, but they are chosen by the Nominating and Governance Committee, and the board approves them. And the board looks at a range of things. In addition to certain skills that we need, there's also an overlay of diversity and geographic diversity, and then certain perspectives that we need. So it's always a balance. We want people who can help management in overseeing FINRA, which is a complex organization. So we need people with business and leadership experience in corporations. We also need an investor perspective, because so much of what we do is focused on that. We also need economists and people with technology expertise. So trying to find a diverse set of candidates who have the certain skills that we may need at any one time is really a priority of the board and of Robert and Bill Hyman. And this year we do have a big search going on, because in 2019, we're going to lose four board members, four public members at our annual meeting this year. And that's a big loss for us in terms of just the timing of their terms. So we're really in full search mode. The Nominating and Governance Committee is chaired by Kathy Murphy from Fidelity, and she's doing a fantastic job. She works with Robert Cook and with Bill Hyman, the chairman of our board, and they're very focused on finding governors who not only have the skills that the board needs at any particular time. We're losing someone who's a behavioral economist. We're losing a finance professor. We're losing someone with audit experience. And then we're losing another public governor who has no tie to the financial services industry. And she was a fantastic governor, a leader of the board, really. And she was the former CEO and chairman of Ogilvy, which is an advertising agency. And her name's Shelley Lazarus. And when she came to us, she really wasn't familiar with FINRA, and she's been terrific. But she brought leadership and CEO experience to the board. It's that type of mix of skills just in that group that are leaving this year sort of shows you how diverse the board is.
I wanted to take a minute to talk about board diversity. How does the FINRA Board of Governors take diversity into account when looking at public governors?
That is one of our goals for this class that we're going to be bringing on in 2019. We're losing some diversity. We're losing three women in this class. And we also are looking at racial and geographic diversity. You know, we try to have people from across the country. And so it's a very strong focus for the board, and especially for Robert Cook and Bill Hyman. They're very focused on this.
So what exactly does this diverse group of perspectives and people do as FINRA's Board of Governors?
So the Board of Governors oversees the management of FINRA and how FINRA is being managed. They are not managing FINRA. If you are familiar with boards and how they operate, there's a saying, fingers out and noses in. So they're supposed to be a certain distance from the day-to-day management. They aren't making those types of decisions, but they're making sure that the processes and the way that decisions are made, that management is doing its job. They do this by hearing reports from management. They hear from everybody on the management team at each meeting. We'll have a financial report from Todd DeGancy, our CFO. They hear a lot from Steve Randich, our chief information officer, about technology and cyber concerns. That's a big focus for the board, is the safety of our data. They hear from the regulatory operations. The board in 2019 is very focused on our exam program transformation. Barry Havlick, who came in 2018 and has been a terrific addition, she talks to the board a lot, as does Susan Schroeder and Tom Gira in running their programs.
And when board members vote on something, do they tend to vote along party lines, to say, like public and industry, or is it more complex than that?
It really is more complex than that. And we say that if you walked into a FINRA board meeting and just heard the discussion and didn't know who was speaking, you would be hard-pressed to identify anyone as either a public or an industry governor, because when they join the FINRA board, they're in a fiduciary role with FINRA. And so they're looking out for the best interests of investors and of keeping markets safe, because that's FINRA's mission. So helping FINRA be this vigilant guardian of market integrity is what the governors are focused on. And so their industry perspective or their credentials from academia or from the regulatory world or as an investor advocate. They bring that to the table, but their duty is to make the best decision for FINRA. People take off their individual interest hat and put on the FINRA hat and have a robust discussion.
That's good to hear. So I have heard a rumor that FINRA's board also once included a former president of the United States. Is that
right? That is right. He was Gerald Ford. We were talking earlier, you'd asked me if he was an industry or public governor. He would definitely be a public governor. We have had former politicians, and I think Gerald Ford was on the board. He was before my time, but when we had a joint board, he may have been on the NASD board when NASDAQ was part of NASD.
So if Barack Obama or George W. Bush is interested in a job, we've got some openings this year.
Well, we're very particular, but we would talk to them.
So I wanted to switch gears a little bit and take a look at one of the big priorities for the board the past year, and that's been transparency, and that's been a big part of FINRA 360 as well. Why has transparency been such a priority for the board?
When Robert Cook joined FINRA and went on his listening tour, he had a lot of conversations with people that showed that everyone didn't understand how FINRA operated and how we make decisions. And also, frankly, the complexity of FINRA and the operation. We're a large company and we have a lot of complex systems, and there just seemed to be a lack of information about some of the things that the board spent a lot of time on. And so in addition to being more transparent about how FINRA's regulatory programs operate, which is always something that the industry and others want to know, there was also a desire to see how we're governed and how we decide how to spend our money, how we make decisions about how to organize the different groups. So we took it upon ourselves to do a special notice and sought input on what people wanted to know and how we could be more engaged with our stakeholders. I talked about that on a podcast a year ago. And when you said that that was a year ago, it made me laugh because in some ways it seems like it's been 3 years ago. It's such a intense ongoing process. We did get feedback on that. But while there is a desire for more transparency, it was also a desire from the board to be more open because they're proud of the work they do. And it's important to share that, I think.
Since we last had you on the show a year ago, what were some of the biggest moves forward when it comes to transparency?
Well, I don't know if you've had a chance to check out our board video reports, but we have updated those and we try to show a little more flavor and substance of what are happening in those. And we've had a lot of success with that and good input. But after each board meeting, the chairman of the board and other board members, depending on what the topic of the board meeting is, will have a little conversation with them. And we also will link then to different materials about those topics. And so we've done that. And I think that that's been well received and helpful. And also just seeing who the board members are, because they're not always visible to people, and especially the industry governors who feel that they need to share with the folks who elected them the work that FINRA's doing. That's one of the big changes in transparency. We've also just published a lot more information about what the board's doing for each meeting. We have a follow-up that goes out afterwards. We do a press release that talks about all the major initiatives that were discussed at the board meeting with links to those different things. So we've made the information easier to access. And then also we've published new things that we hadn't published previously. And a big thing that we did in 2018 was the publication of our financial guiding principles and a look at FINRA's budget. And so we've always published our annual financial report, which is a look back at what we did. But the budget is a look forward, and it shows what FINRA's priorities are in terms of how we're going to spend our money. So that's a big step forward. People were glad that we did that.
So outside of these transparency efforts, what do you think was the most noteworthy item that the board looked at in 2018?
2018 certainly was the year of ensuring that FINRA 360 and the progress that we made through that initiative, that it was institutionalized in the sense that it became part of the culture, that we were always striving to be a more efficient and a more effective regulator. And so there were a lot of discussions about the enforcement program consolidation in 2018. That was a big lift for Susan Schroeder and her team. They also focused on the exam program transformation, which got underway mid-year and then with Barry Havlicek's arrival. So the programs under FINRA 360 were a huge focus of the board.
What do you think will be the top priorities for the board looking ahead to 2019?
In 2019, I think the board will be focused a lot on board recruitment and attracting a diverse, talented group of folks to replace the four that we're losing in July, as well as developing a pipeline, because in 2020, we have three board members who are leaving. So that's a lot of turnover in a short amount of time. Another focus for 2019 is to continue our work externally with our stakeholder groups. Robert Cook has certainly made that a priority with his, I call it the continual listening tour, because it never really has ended for him. He is very focused on meeting with firms, with investors, with policymakers, and I think that will continue for sure in 2019. The board meets with policymakers often. We've had Jay Clayton and other SEC commissioners speak with the board. And in July, the board will be in Washington. We have an engagement and strategic planning meeting, and they'll have a chance to meet with people in person. And we're hoping we can invite Randy Quarles from the Federal Reserve, one of our former governors. We're hoping that he'll come and talk to us. And some other folks like that. It just gives them a chance to hear what's going on in Washington. We are in a very highly regulated industry. And so hearing from the policymakers and the people who make the rules that affect not just the brokerage industry, but also who affect FINRA. I think people forget FINRA is a regulated entity. The SEC oversees us the way we oversee the firms. And so it's important for us to hear from the SEC and to know what they're focused on and their priorities, because they're our overseer in that sense, but they're also our regulatory partner in the sense that we're all trying to keep the market safe. And so working with the SEC in that regard, it's helpful for the board to hear from them.
Well, that's it for this episode of FINRA Unscripted. Marcia, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Caitlin.
Thank you for listening. If you have any ideas for future episodes or questions for future guests, feel free to shoot us an email at finraunscripted@finra.org. Until next time, from Washington, D.C., I'm your host, Caitlin Kiernan.
Please note, FINRA podcasts are the sole property of FINRA, and the information provided is for informational and educational purposes only. The content of the podcast does not constitute any FINRA rule or amendment or interpretation to such rules. Compliance with any recommended conduct presented does not mean that a firm or person has complied with the full extent of their obligations under FINRA rules, the rules of any other SRO, or securities laws. This podcast is provided as is. FINRA and its affiliates are not responsible for any human or mechanical errors or omissions. Parties may not reproduce these podcasts in any form or reference them in any publication without the express written consent of FINRA.